as we look at it, the prayer she opened up with was fitting, and you know, it wasn't anything designed from last night or something. It was just this morning, because I know Deacon Hubbard was going to open and he was going to pray the Our Father prayer. And I don't think that prayer is fitting at times, as Jesus didn't think it was fitting before his resurrection that they would pray that Our Father prayer. It wasn't when he was risen and came back that he told Doubting Thomas, and he told us to say, when you pray Our Father. See, the problem is we have too many people in the church that we encompassing with that Our Father prayer. See, when you say Our Father, you're taking on a reverent name there. You're taking on God's name. And when you represent God, and when you put people under the heading of representing God, they have to have the fear of God, because you kind of vouchsafing for that person. You co-signing that person under God's name. And that's why Jesus gave that prayer to his disciples. He didn't give it to the world. And that's why everything you notice, it's a divisive way that he speaks. And the church is one of the most divisive organizations it is on the earth, because it includes a call out people, a people, and the title of the message is The Injustice and the Church's Judge. It's a place where every foul and unclean bird is going to seek its way into the church. That's why he told the parable of the mustard seed. It's the church has become something that it wasn't meant to be in the eyes of the world, that they don't realize the sanctity of the church. In other words, we got everybody. And like I said, I was looking at Bill Maher here, and here Ralph Reed was defending our president, the president of the United States. And you can't defend some Christians or people that say they are Christians. They shouldn't take that name, Our Father, upon them. Jesus said, he that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. And when you defending a person that's in the church, or say they are Christian, and they are very worldly, and you lying, in other words. In other words, you trying to cover for this person, and that probably is the judgment of God singling that person out of the church. You go, God's going to purge his church. He's going to want to purge the church. That's why in Revelations, the second chapter and the third verse, you see him coming back in the context of saying he going to fight against the church. We need to cleanse the church of all the filth that's in the church. But Jesus Christ himself is going to do this as a refiner. Our opening scripture reading, I think it was coming from Malachi, the third chapter and the third verse, it says, he shall set as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. This is going to be an acceptable offering unto the Lord. For whereas now the offering to the Lord that the church is offering, it's tainted. It's like Cain's offering. It's not with the right attitude. It's not with the right disposition. We see that when Christ came in the book of Matthew, when he was coming to Jerusalem, at the very end of his ministry, what he did in Matthew 21 and 12 through 14. Let's look at that. That was the last thing of his operation here on earth. He said, and Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you had made it a den of thieves. And that's when the blind and the lame were able to come in, and he healed them. But he said that your house is left unto you desolate. In other words, he was showing that this was no longer his house. The house that the Pharisees and the establishment of the world, this church age, that wasn't his house. He had started with church houses during that time. The church is started in the homes of individuals, because Jesus wasn't accepted in the synagogues and the temples as God. In other words, they had rejected Jesus Christ. The church is rejecting the gospel and is rejecting Jesus Christ today. And that's why it says the church had apostatized. So in this last day and time, we see in Revelations when he said he was fighting against the church, he was going to come and fight against the church. We have to clean the church up of the money change. There are so many people selling their CDs and DVDs and selling all kinds of sermons, selling. It's so much in the church today that's for sale. It's so much in the church today where homosexuals, where liars and cheaters and backbiters can come in the church and serve in offices and positions, where the needy is no longer fed the spiritual word of God. That's why he said in the last days there was going to be a famine of hearing the word of God. We can't unite two things that's mixed and expect a proper result. There's going to be unholiness into it. There's going to be impurity in that. Jesus said that he that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. We're not going to let anyone come in the church and hide in here. The word of God's going to drive them out of here. That's just like Jesus Christ drove them out of the temple. Your life has to drive people away from you. But it shall lift up and draw those that are Jesus Christ. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You see, we're looking for a ministry. We're looking for a word. We're looking for the spirit that draws the true worshipers of Jesus Christ. So he's going to sit there and his words going to go forth. But the famine is going to be those that's counterfeit sheep. Those that he's not their father. That those that he says, you're of your father the devil. Now he was talking about the Pharisees at that time. He was talking straight right into their face. He said, you of your father the devil. There be a many in the church today. And that's the problem here in America. The churches are where Satan is. Satan's ministers has been transformed into ministers of light. And see, that's the problem when we say we all one father's children. Hold on now. Hold on now. You intermixing us now. You shouldn't pray this prayer with me. That's why we need to get away from this blend here. Because it's going to come a time when every tub has to sit on his own bottom. The character and thing that you've been walking with, the way you've been walking, that's the way of faith. We have to live by, the just shall live by faith. And that's what's going to bring us alive. There is a coming day of judgment. That day is at hand. We've been studying that in Zephaniah, that the day of the Lord is coming. Malachi, the second chapter reads, the coming day of judgment. He says, look, I'm sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to the temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you look for so eagerly is surely coming, says the Lord of armies, the Lord of heaven's armies. We're kind of talking about John the Baptist. We need to be a John the Baptist. We need to go out with fire and brimstone preaching the word of God. Not compromising. Good. Not compromising with the world. Not compromising with the church. Not compromising with our family. Yeah. If the preacher is not living what he's preaching, you need to put the rollers on. If the deacon's not living what they say they're supposed to be living or what the Bible says they're supposed to be living, you need to put the rollers on. Amen. If the members of the church are not, you need to put the rollers on. Amen. It's a time now that it's no time for foolishness. When you become vested in something, when that becomes part of what you own, that's when you really fight. You see, if you don't have a dog in the fight, you don't have a stake in it. But if you pay in your tithes and offerings, if you give in your time and your life to the church, and that's what Jesus did. He gave his life, blood for the church. The sanctified. In other words, to cleanse the church. To purify. So it's no playing. See, people use the name of God and they play around. They'll lie right now and they'll come right in the church and lie. They'll stand right behind the pulpit and lie. They'll stand right outside the pulpit and lie. They'll stand anywhere in lie. And God says, no liars go in. We need to start standing our ground as John the Baptist did. That's why they ostracized John, because John stood his ground. He didn't play or fool around or mince words with anybody. And that's the only way we can prepare the way for God, is to stand our ground. That's the only way we can be judges up on the earth, is that we can have a discerning spirit and can pick out what's wrong and what's not right. He was born full of the Spirit. And God has given us of his Spirit for that to empower us. But see, the church is weak today. The church don't have any power. It says, my people suffer for the lack of knowledge. Knowledge is power. But you've given it to the false prophets. By knowing what the word of God's saying, but not doing. By knowing what type person you are, but lying and think people don't see who you are. We know who the cowards are. We know who the liars and the cheats are, just as the world do. And when you cover for a man that's a liar, you partake of his sin. You partake of his sin. Now let me tell you this. If the church puts itself in that position, Jesus Christ said he's going to fight against you. That's why he has to cleanse the church. It says after he cleansed the temple, then the blind and the lame came in. It don't have room enough in the church for the poor people. It's only the rich, only the fortunate, only the ones that's doing good that's running the church. Only the ones of a name of popularity. And the poor people out there, they have to use their own gospel and say, well, it won't be all those in the church that are saved. The reason they're staying out, because they know it's liars and cheats in here. Here's an atheist now talking with Ralph Reed, the president of the Freedom of the Faith Coalition of America, and he's sitting there lying and defending a liar to an atheist. How does this look? How does this look? God's not pleased with it. That's why he says, our Father. No. He didn't give that prayer to everybody. He didn't give his name. He said, I pray for these mine. I pray not for the world. I'm leaving. See, he's going to throw us in the fiery furnace of affliction. But he's going to be doing the judging. You remember I told you, we don't have to judge the world because the world's already judged?
Yes.
If you come into God's church with that foolishness, you part of the world that will be condemned. Or if you a false professor or whatever, he's going to set that fire. And once he set that fiery fire, he's going to tell whether you're able to go through the furnace or not. He says he's going to set as a refiner. When you get ready to refine something, if you're going to refine silver or gold or whatever precious metal it is, get ready to throw it in the fire. You have to be good, because what that refiner is doing, he has to purge all the dross out of that, what he's casting in the fire. All of the impurities has to come out. And that's what he does with us. Like Shadrach and Meshach, he cast us into the fiery furnace. He's going to burn all lying out. He's going to burn all the works of the flesh out. See, but if that's what you are and that's who you are, you will be chaff. You won't have anything left. But now if you're a child of God and you're holding on to the world and the things of the world, you will lose all your rewards. Now you may be saved, but you may be like Lot. You will be saved by the skin of your teeth. You won't have no wife, no children. You won't have nothing. Lot didn't escape Sodom and Gomorrah with just the clothes on his back. I don't want to be with a lot of Christians that just want to get out of here with the clothes on the back. I want to send gifts. I want to send rewards up. I want to store up my treasure in heaven. I want to work for the purpose God had put me here. I want to be fruitful and multiply. And you see, what happens is, you can't go around sowing bad seed, because every man's going to reap what he sowed. If you go around smiling, if you go around spreading joy and laughter, if you go around telling the truth, you go around establishing the things of God, you'll reap a harvest of that. But if not, when them chickens do come home the roost, and they bad crop, you may not be able to bear that. Your sin may be more than you can bear. That's what Cain says. My sin is more than I can bear. His punishment was more than... You should have thought about that before you kill your brother. You should have thought about that before you just offered anything to God. So, we also, to be, I told you, quick, in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, the first and the fifth verse, that we are to be a type of Christ also. That we are to come out in His likeness, in His image. That's what the refiner is doing. When you refine silver, when he's refining silver, he keeps putting it in the furnace to burn all of the dross and the chaff away. How does he know when that silver is ready? When it's done, when it's pure? You can hold it up and you can see your face in it. You can see your image in it. Can Christ see his image in us? Can he see his likeness in us? He's going to keep putting you in the fire because it says God made man in his image, in his likeness. Do you think our president is in the image of God and in his likeness? You see, because when God says you are my witnesses, you know, everybody else in a courtroom, whether you are witness for the defense or the prosecution, you get to add your 2 cents to it. He's not just going to take witnesses from inside the church. He says you have to be of a good reputation of those without the church. What about the people that don't go to church with you? Do they know things about you that the church is covering up? That you a pedophile? You remember, that's what the Roman Catholic Church did. They covered a lot of the clergy abuse up. And there's a lot of people that knew this was going on, but the church is covering it up. But see, God says it won't be nothing covered in that day. Everything that's done in darkness will come to the light.
Yes.
All these dark deeds and corners and things where you thought that you were undercover and nobody see you, it's naked before God. God sees everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Integrity is what you are when you're away from God. When you're away from everybody else. What are you when you're away from the church? When that doxology is spoken, when we leave here today, what type of person you are? We know you're good in here saying amen and going along with what, but how's your life outside then? God judges the church also. That's where judgment has to start so he can make room in the church. He's going to get all the crud out. It was the priest that was causing this. It was the leaders that. He said, don't put my name. He says, don't take my name in vain. He don't want you using his name for nothing. Don't call upon the name of the Lord unless you're sincere. But who will be able to endure when it comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. Then once more the Lord will accept the offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem as he did it in the past. In other words, remember we read that in Zephaniah, how did the state, the church, get in such a state as that? How did they get in the condition they were in? How did mankind get in the condition he's in today? You ever got to the end of your rope? You ever got so deep in debt? You ever look back over your life as you done got older and everything and ask, how did I get in this shape I'm in? How did I get in this predicament? You know, with me, I look back and say, man, how did I gain all this weight back? It was me myself. It was my mouth going. It was things I was doing. You know, when we look back, we have nobody else to blame but ourselves. And here the church is doing exactly what they were doing during Malachi's time. Listen at this. He says, at that time, I will put you on trial. Remember I told you judgment is a process. Over a period of time, he's examining your life. He's evaluating you. He's examining each one of us, seeing what we're made of. He says, I'm eager to witness against all sorcerers. And that's all people with witchcraft or any kind of soothsaying or Let me tell you this way. Those people that say the Spirit of the Lord told me, all spirits of divination. In other words, all those people that speak of Christ who don't have that authority. Because remember in Revelation, you say, you've tried those that say they're apostles and are not. All those preachers that speak in the name of God, that's mystics like Balaam and who we studied, that says, thus says the Lord this. And Jesus made us aware. Now each man is accountable for his own self, because he made us aware. He says, now do what the Pharisees say, but don't do as they do.
Yes.
You have to have the knowledge. You have to be to study God's word to know whether a man is speaking God's word or not. But then to act upon that word, you have to have a life. You have to be been born again. You have to be nourished with prayer. You have to be led by the Spirit of God, because the judgments and the discernment that you're making, it ultimately goes in whether God's judging you. Because you remember, whatever or however you judge, you will be judged with that same measure, with that same standard. So everything, every thought has to be brought into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. In other words, it has to be sifted through the Word of God. That's how He's going to purify us, is through His Word. We're washed by the Word. We're sanctified by His Word. Everything is in the Word. Abide in the Word and allow the Word to abide in you. Hide it in your heart. That's the way. That's the truth. That's what takes you along that highway. He says, and adulterers and liars. Now this is the point he was on the other day, and Malachi goes further in that if you want to read the third chapter, because it was a lot of people had dealt treacherously with the wives of their youth. And so as the leader, so goes the people. I'm a president has been married 3 times. I don't think I am one of those marriages. The divorce is ended because of unfaithfulness. So we have to find out how long that you say you've been a Christian or whatever, because you can't be a Christian and divorce your wife. God says He hates putting away, and that's what this nation is. It's an adulterous generation. What you are physically kind of rams the spiritual life. That's what's going on spiritually. This is an adulterous nation. If none of those 2 wives that he had before the wife he have today had committed adultery on him, he's living in adultery right now if he's a Christian. Because he couldn't legally divorce his wife or put his wife away because of these things. You see, sexual immorality in the land. When he had a person on there speaking some of the things he said about women and the demoralizing things he said about women. You have to guard this thing here, especially in this age, because they'll pull it up on tape and say, well, here's what you said, and they'll show you saying exactly what you said. Watch what's coming out your mouth. See, because what comes out your mouth is what's in your heart anyhow. You're just speaking what's in you. You can't say it's locker room talk or whatever. You should, if you're a fountain, you shouldn't spew forth sweet and bitter water. So we have to look at, are you covering for somebody? Are you making excuses? Because each man's going to have to give account before the Lord. Each one of y'all, that's why I preach the gospel to y'all. And I teach the gospel, teach God's word, and tell y'all to study it and know it for itself. Because when Jesus comes, I can't stand up for Deacon Hubbard. I can't stand for society. Each one of us has to stand for God by ourselves. Amen. It's not your father's faith. You got to stand up on your own faith. You have to give account for the deeds done in your body. And we're not scared. See, people are not scared of God anymore. That's why I say, we don't fear and reverence God. If you feared God, you wouldn't do the things you do. You'd be living a different life. God says, you're not even scared to rob God. You rob God. You take that what belongs to God. You profane that which is God's. People don't fear God. Now, they may say they fear God. But see, show me your faith by your works. That's what I'm saying. Are your works proving that? You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. See, we are his witnesses. We are God's witnesses. We're not making accusations. You're condemning yourself. He says, by your own words are you condemned. We shouldn't be taking this lightly, what we see people doing. You wouldn't take it lightly, what you see your children doing. When you're raising your children, why are you so stiff on them when you're penalizing them for lying, for stealing, for the things they're doing? Because you know one day that's going to get there. One day you will be judged by this.
Yes.
I'm not raising you the right way, the godly way, if I allow you or let you off with this because you're my son or daughter. If you my friend, if you a digger, if you the preacher, if you my brother, sister, my mother, father, right is right. Right is right. And that's what God said. Do you love me enough even and hate your own self? In other words, can you look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm a liar and I'm a cheat and I need your help, Lord. I'm examining myself and people have criticized me and told me about myself. I'm going to stop denying them and tell the truth. That's the way I am. Don't forget what manner of man you are now. Don't forget sometimes when people criticize you, the criticism is correct. They're not lying on you. I'm not saying all the time. You have to see both sides of the story. Examine your life. He says, I will speak against those who cheat the employees of their wages. Right now, they're robbing people and paying. I was back and forth yesterday all day on the phone with a woman. And I'm telling her, I did the yard for the price I did it for, but I can't do it for that price no more. Go find somebody else. You know, she texted me back and forth half the day into the night. Well, look, go find somebody else. Don't keep arguing with me about the price of it. You asked me, why did your last yard man leave? That's why he left.
Yeah.
You know, we want to cheat people, but we want to make all the money. The corporate execs and things make hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's about the money. But then you want your employees to make it off $7, $8 an hour. And that's almost not possible during this day and time. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't learn to manage our money better. That we should do. But you shouldn't rob a person. You shouldn't want to make all the money. That's what the nation is created off of. The only way you can have lotteries and things is created off greed, covetousness. You don't think that's so? Tell you what, anytime you see on television, the larger the lottery gets, the more people go buy a ticket. They're not seeing that the odds increasing astronomically. They're looking at the amount of money they could win. But the larger the money, the greater the odds are. See, that's what Satan appeals to, is your greed and covetousness. That's what he appeals to. So, God's going to fight for you now, but God's also going to fight against you. You remember I told you, you have to examine yourself. You have to get that mote out of your eye. You have to make sure you're right. And that's the problem he had here in Malachi. That's the problem he had in Revelation, is the preachers was corrupt, the leaders was corrupt, and the people in the church. Don't just blame it on your leaders. How did he get elected? Didn't you punch the button for him? You had to vote for him. How he got in there? If the devil's in this church this morning, somebody brought him in here. He don't have feet. He can't walk in and open the door. When he cast them out of the swine, he said, bid us to go into the swine over there. When he cast the devils out of the demons, out of that man of Gadara, they said, bid us to go in the swine because they have to go somewhere. When Satan comes out of you, when you cleanse your house, you'd better put godliness back in that house, because you allow the devil back in that house, it's going to be 7 times worse than it was before.
Yep.
Whenever you come into holiness, you'd better be careful of the people you fool with in the church. I was over to a minister's house the other day, and I was telling Miles about to leave because he had came out in the wrong spirit in him. The way he was talking, but he wouldn't let me leave. He kept talking or whatever. So another guy drove up, was coming in. I said, well, now I can leave. I was getting out. He said, no, no. He was trying to get the other brother to come out. When the other brother got out to church or whatever, he said, oh, prophet this and prophet that. I said, no, I'm gone now. I know I'm gone now. Sometime I don't want to talk Bible with some people. And see, that's what Bill Meyer was telling Ralph Reed the other night. You came in the lion's den. See, sometimes we go in the lion's den, we all want to be Daniel, but we don't want to suffer as Daniel suffered. We don't want to do as Daniel did before his God. It wasn't Daniel that overcame the lions. It was Daniel's gods that overcame the lions. You know, if you have dreams, you can't interpret a dream. Daniel and Joseph say it is God that interprets dreams. Man can write books and say, if you dream of this, this is what that means. That was not necessarily. It is God that you be led by the Spirit of God. That's how Satan can deceive you. He can come up to you in ways that the Bible says, but without God by your side, once one thing was this way, it may not be that way anymore. You can't put God in a box, and that's what Job was trying to do. Put God in a box. We have to let God be God. He may be showing you something he's not showing me. Just because you have money, just because you have health, that don't mean you're a better man than me because I'm poor and I'm disabled. It may be something else altogether. He said, these who oppress widows and orphans, who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord. Because I told you, don't treat strangers this way. You know, nobody was ever a stranger to my mother. My mother fed everybody. That's what she was known in the apartments, a mother. A lot of people didn't know her name. They just called her mother. They would eat, and she was just like a mother to them. You know, that's why Jesus said you would have hundreds of mothers and brothers in this earth. If I'm not like a brother to you, I'm failing as a child of God. If I don't treat the sisters and the women in the church like my mothers and sisters, I'm failing the word of God. Yes. See, if God's our Father and we all created in his image and likeness, another man shouldn't be less than I am. You show impartiality, but even in your very works, it shows that you say we're not brothers. You better watch yourself. God says first, before you go to judging people, you make sure you right. Make sure the beam is out your eyes. Yeah. That you're able to judge. See, because I would sit back, I'm just a watcher. And I was watching, I say this atheist got this so-called Christians on the ropes here. He got him on the ropes. And, you know, you can't disregard facts when you're going in talking about you living by faith. And the faith don't agree with the facts. Because God is driving the facts. God is sovereign. You think things happening in this world that God's not causing or allowing to happen? God's allowing all these things to happen. Well, that's my introduction. Yes. First point, false gospels. False gospel. For idols speak delusion. The diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people went their way like sheep. They are all in trouble because there's no true shepherd. There's no true shepherd. Everybody's preaching. God could be in the church a couple of weeks. I was telling you, this guy the other day said, come on in, prophet. But this guy, he used to be, that he's calling a prophet, he used to be in this church. See, but that's why I say you learn who to shy away from and what to shy away from. Everybody that calls me Lord, Lord, will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just because somebody say they're a preacher, a child of God, justice has to run its course, and you don't want to be a part of it. You want to have the power. You want to be one of those that God has given you the power to walk in this earth and to rule in this earth. We want to have that authority, that respect from God. We shouldn't be cowering and scared of man. Notice that Job at no time relented to his friends or whatever. That at no time that they had no power of authority over him. The words that they were speaking to Job, even though some of them had a biblical-like text to them, they didn't stick to Job because Job knew that they were just blundering know-it-alls that didn't know really God as much as he did. Just because somebody go to church don't mean that you let them ramble on about the word of God to you. Paul says in Galatians 1:6-9, he says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another gospel, only there are some who are disturbing you who want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. He didn't say he's to be embraced. You might treat him as a brother, but that person is cursed, and you should avoid him like a plague. Mark those that cause divisions among you. Don't be naive. Don't be naive in a part. Empower that person. As we have said before, so I say again, now if any man is preaching to you a contrary gospel to what you receive, he is to be accursed. They are all wide, deceitful paths that you should be aware of. Jesus had made us aware in that now. Now, they will preach to you and teach to you. Remember we was in Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 1st to the 3rd verse, that people in the world say, the Bible say, don't judge. Okay. It does say that. It says, don't judge and be careful how you judge. It does say that. How did we use that word, judge? Let's not even go out of that chapter. Let's stay in that same chapter 7 and go down a few verses. Let's go down into 13 and 14 verse. He says, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many go in at, who enter through it. For the gate is small, that is those that have faith in Christ alone. And the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that find it. There'll be a many a gospel preached out there. It'll be a many a churches out there. That's the broad way. Just because he's preaching Christ doesn't he mean he's preaching the true Christ. Because he's counting on godliness as gain. He's counting on that he has a lot of money or flashy clothes and living a certain type of life, and he's doing a lot of good works. He's doing all these deeds. He can speak good. He can a good orator. He's counting on works to save him, not faith in Jesus Christ, not a life. He's not living a life. That's the narrow way. You have to be trusting in Jesus Christ. You may just go back and forth from your home and live a life of godliness among the people that come into your circle. In other words, you may not be able to get out and witness to people. You may not have the money or the funds to feed a whole lot of people. But you can live a godly life. Just a few people you know and do meet, you can live a godly life. See, it ain't about how many people you know. It ain't how popular your name is. It ain't how much money you got in your pocket. Do you have Jesus in your heart?
Yeah, right.
Is he your Father?
Yeah.
And he know no matter what you say or do to me, I can pray our Father. I can get on the horn with him at any time.
Amen.
That when I pray our Father, give us this day our daily bread, I know that he don't forsake the righteous. I don't have to beg you for nothing. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you for that.
Praise God.
He told me that I wouldn't have to borrow nothing from you. I tell you what, you know, there's some people you would rather do it out than to ask them to do for you. That's judgment. But when you go to cowering down to the world or whatever just because you don't have this, he says you will have to learn to suffer. Paul said he's learned to be without. He's learned to be content with such that you have. You don't need to go borrow his money to get something else in this world. If you don't have it, might be God meant for you not to have it. Wait, the old people used to wait till they could save up enough money to get it. That's how they invented layaway. I just put a few dollars on it till I can get it. Then when I go get it, it's mine. I don't owe you nothing for it.
Yes.
That's the thing about my old truck. I don't owe nobody anything for it. But I tell you what, you go get you one of them new Sierras. One of them 2018s or 17s. And if you don't line up and you don't chase after the God of this world, they'll come get that thing from you in a few months. You got to depend on the world at that time. You got to find a way to put food on the table. You might not get eat for trying to pay for it. One way God judges his people is by sending a famine of hearing the word of God. How by a plethora, there's a many of false gospels. Jeff Flake this week, senator from Arizona, was talking about biblical proportion of flood that this president is releasing on the world. When we talk about a flood in the latter days and the waters coming up, what God is talking about is a multitude of false doctrines, of false gospels. You can throw a rock in any direction and hit a church. You can go in any city and you can find any one of 20 or 30 different denominations of churches. So there is a flood that come out there. You can turn it on any one of maybe 30 or 40 different channels and find an all-day gospel station. Because it's profitable. I didn't say it was truthful. I didn't say they all were truthful. A lot of people depend on TV preachers and everything because they too lazy to go to church and they don't want to be under the authority of anybody. If that preacher's saying something that they don't like, they can cut him off. They could hear him preach the gospel. They don't have to send him any dime. They just tight. They ain't going to get anybody any money. They don't have to be under the authority of what he's saying. In other words, he don't have to convict their conscience. See, that's what the word of God does. The Spirit convinces you of sin. In other words, when a lot of y'all hear things in here, Sister Harris, bad for it too. Pastor, is that me? Is this going on? That's what the word of God should do. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, I can see this in me. This hit me. When the word hits you, that's when you line up with. Get in the plumb line. See, I know you're listening when you start letting the word hit you, and then when you say, Lord, help me, or pray with me about this, Pastor, talk with me about this. And you go to somebody in the church. But if you always coming in here, and I ain't never saying anything about you, we know who you're bringing in here and taking out of here. The word, he's purging his church. He's shaping and forming his church. I got problems in it. That's what I wanted to hear this morning in the prayer. When she said that hungering, and she wanted to hear something this morning. The only way you can hear it is that you done prayed to God and that you can roll that chair way over here in the rain and in the heat and in the cold because you want to hear God say something. And it's up to me to be then went before God and asked God, God, give me something to tell the people to make it worth them coming over here, to make it worth them living against everybody in the world, because you will come up against the world. You will come up against your wife, your husband, your children. It's going to be people talking against your church. You don't want to be one that goes along with them when they're talking about you and your church. Because if they're talking about your church, they're talking about you. Because they're talking about your God. They're talking about your brothers and sisters. Jesus said, those that do the will of the Father. So why would you follow somebody and then let somebody else talk against me? God, that's why they call it the dark age, because the people were not hearing the word of God. And there's nothing to do in the world. And God is sovereign and he controls the going ins and comings out of us. But also, God won't stand to be rejected. If we reject God's gospel, he says, as a refiner, I'm sitting here, 1 Corinthians 1st chapter to 11th chapter, to send a delusion to those who do not obey the gospel. Now see, that's why I say judgment starts in the church. Because those of us in here are hearing me say, when you don't obey the gospel, which is the word of God, which is what I preach and teach week in and week out, when you don't obey that, God brings judgment on the children of disobedience. Now, what happens to the world, they're going to have to confess that one day. No matter how they're living now, whether they're living in prosperity and health or wealth or whatever, they're not hearing that, but they're not obedient to the word of God, even though they know what the word of God says. Now listen at this. Even though they know what the word of God says and are disobedient to the word of God. That's why I said you have to get that beam out of your eyes. This guy, I told you, Bill Mock, he's an atheist. He said, I don't believe in Satan or whatever. Do y'all believe in Satan in the church? He said, don't you say Satan is the father of lies or whatever? He said, now ain't this your president one of the biggest liars in here?
Yeah.
He's tying this all in. Now you're sitting there, now what you gonna do here? I'm saying now, here's the metaphor and here's the agreement. He knows what the Bible says. Satan knows every word in the Bible. He came up to Jesus quote scriptures. So, doesn't that show you that you are in wrong association? Your association, in other words, you hooked your cart to the wrong train? Don't, as you was raising your children coming up, did you tell them about bad associations and who to fool with, who not to fool with? I hadn't seen that guy that worked on with the Luther truck and I don't know when now. Because I don't want that associated with me. See, because even though I've known you for years and everything, when things of your true nature comes out, you turn from righteousness. If you were righteous at one time and turn to do wickedness, that removes all the righteousness you've ever done. If you've been doing good, don't go weary of well-doing. You continue to do well-doing. You can't turn and do wickedness because now we have to part ways. We have to separate. You can't live on past goods and past things. You have to forget that was behind. You have to continue to do good every day. All of your life you have to do good. That's what you were born for, was good works. So God's going to choose our delusions. He could choose that. Friends, examine your hearts to see if you're in the faith, Paul says. Deception is at an all-time high. God is holy, which means he's separate from sinners. That is the good news of the gospel. God bridges that gulf of our sins through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how we come in, that we don't have any condemnation. But what happens is, how you get your conscience seared is, how can you live a right life before God? You accept to get entangled in this world's affairs. You bring people into the church or bring people into your life and you cover for their faults and flaws instead of allowing that person to face proper judgment on their faults and flaws. That's why Paul told him to put that brother out of the church that sinned. Don't have fellowship with him. So even if they voted for this guy and he was with them, they should say, well, no, look, he lied to us too. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He wasn't what he say he was. Because let me tell you this. Anybody that's in the church, and that includes this church, that not what you say you are and not what you should be, God's going to expose you, and there's nothing I or anybody else is going to do about it. We're going to cling to God. We're not going to cling to you. God is where the your heart is in all that can be, because those that know God knows that can anything exist outside of God. So that you would be as though you never exist. So why should I lose all that I've been laboring for to go along with you? And it's like two crooks once they rob the bank or whatever. Have you noticed that they turn on one another in this administration? Yeah. One sells the other out, because nobody is faithful and loyal to one another. Because like I said, if you're not faithful and loyal to God, how can you be faithful and loyal to another man?
Good teaching.
If you're not faithful and devoted to God. See, in judgment, we're learning to... You remember I told you Wednesday that judgment is discernment? That judgment is evaluating? So what we do is like the old people do. How many... And that's why I always fool with a lot of old people. You know, old people like to sit out and watch and observe. You learn more from sitting down and watching them. And how you mess things up a lot of times is you say something. Sometimes you don't say nothing, but you just sit there and watch. And you know, I've been watching you and observing you all this time. And then they can tell you about yourself. You don't have to get in any conflict, you know, scuffling, because if you get in the midst of that and you try to tell a know-it-all or try to tell somebody that's crooked what they're doing wrong, they gonna change it, and then they gonna lie and say that wasn't the intended purpose anyhow. Yep. So ain't no use trying to box them in. You ain't gonna box a liar in. He gonna tell another lie to get out of that lie. Yep. You gonna be there fighting with him all day. The judgment of God. In other words, when we come to ourselves, see, and that's what quickens us and makes us alive. As we coming to God, and He's showing us ourselves. When you ask Him to show us our faults and flaws, and He have a friend of yours, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Somebody that's been your friend a lifetime, or your wife, or your spouse, your children, somebody come and tell you something. That's why I say it's according to who gives you the criticism and why. Sometimes it takes a real friend. It takes somebody that loves you to tell you your shortcoming, to tell you what's wrong with you. They cut you deep. It's going to cut you deep, but ooh, it's going to be a good cut. When you heal from that, you will be much better. When I prune my trees, you know what? The tree is hurting. I know it's hurting the trees to prune and cut back, but it makes the tree stronger. Cutting that bad out of the tree, cutting them limbs that's weightful on the tree that's not growing right, that's what God does. He prunes us. He says, better to live life without a home. If your arm will fit you, cut it off. It's better to enter into life lame and halt, because He will give you a whole new life. This old corruptible body. Don't try to hold on to self in those things that you used to do. God's judging you and He's purifying you. Don't try to hold on to those friends that's God cutting loose. Let them go. Loose them and let them go. Stop trying to hold on to all these bad habits. On a personal note here, I believe one of the judgments is these mega churches, the church growth movement. They concentrate on church growth, and the church operates like a corporation, having warned the leadership not to operate the house of God like a corporation. In other words, he says, the church, his people, are not like the world. We're not looking for volume here. We're not looking for quantity. You understand that? We're not looking for quantity. We're looking for quality. We're looking for quality. Quality is what we're looking for. Faithful people in the Word of God. Those with good character. He's building us with good character. He's not trying to save the world. Nowhere in the Bible you see whether He says He's saving the world. As a matter of fact, He says He's condemned the world. That this world is passing away. This world is passing away, and the things thereof. So what we should look at, peer pressure and the praise of the world is what's guarding this. Some people love to be loved by other people. They become narcissistic. And if Christ has freed us from that, that's when he comes in to set us free from these narcissistic ways. The second point is liberty. God sets us free from those. I think to diagnose this point correctly and to go through it as I need to, we will have to make that part two. We will have to divide that, because I want you to understand that we're not above judgment, that we're right in the midst of judgment. But you also need to know that God's judging the church, and just because someone is in the church doesn't mean they're saved. Let me give you an illustration here. You're drowning. Someone throws a life preserver out to you. Someone comes out to get you. This person that's saving you has to know how to swim himself, or you'll drown him. But once they grab hold to you and catch you in the water, Jesus is that refiner that catches us Peters from sinking in the water. You say, I'm saved, I'm not going to drown, I'm saved. Stop that shaking and moving around. Stop all that jumping. You're not saved yet. You understand that? You're in the church, you're not saved yet. Because we have to get back to the banks of the river. Jordan is our river that we're crossing. We have to get back on the other side. All of that Moses went through, God didn't let him in to see the promised land. Moses didn't get there. He let him see it, but he couldn't get there. Jesus has saved us, but there's a process he has to take us through. We're in the fire. We're in the midst of the river. He has a hold on us. He's not going to let go. But you better make sure he has a hold on you. You better make sure that you stop the wiggling. You be sure that you do everything he said to make it back to the shore. The water, don't let the water overcome you. He says that he's going to shorten the days unless the very elect which make it. Don't let the popularity of sin progress and overcome you. There's going to be many prosperity movements and many of mega church movements, and it's going to seem like that's the God you want to serve. And they will call his name Jesus, and they will show you big cars and money and clothing, all the things that you want out of life. But there's a little narrow passage there that says you will have to suffer in it. It's going to be just like a camel going through the eye of a needle. You will have to pull off every weight and sin that's besetting you from this race. Every human desire and lust, all that your flesh crave, all those wanting, God's going to burn them in the fire, bringing you ashore. That judgment is going to judge all the dross out you. All of self is going to be dying daily. You will die daily. This church, he says, hold on to that you have. Like I said, hold on, but remain faithful and be an overcomer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, preaching your word, Lord God, help us to